Honorable members, you'll notice that we have two items in the agenda. The first item is the election of the committee chairperson, which will be facilitated by myself. And the second item will be the continuation of the hearing on the Matoba petition, which will be facilitated by the newly elected chairperson. Without wasting any time, I'll just go to the first item. Election of the committee chairperson.
And just before we proceed.
Yes.
Are we corrected?
Okay, we are corrected.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you would delay me by half a minute so that we can.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do it.
Honorable members,
Okay,
no, it's fine. We are correct. We do have a quorum on the
committee. I'm doing this in my interest. I don't want
you're right. That's right.
Oh,
okay, good.
Let's sign it. Can I proceed, Honorable members? I will then proceed to the first item on the agenda, which is the election of the committee chairperson. I'll then call for the nomination of the election of the chairperson of the Delegate Committee on Petitions and Executive Undertakings. Honorable Mteto.
My name is James Mzwenkosi Mteto. I'm a permanent delegate from KZN. I'm also a whip of this committee. I nominate the name of Dumisan Mbi.
Again, is seconded. Honorable Oliver.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, for, I'm a permanent delegate from Northern Cape. I second.
Okay. Honorable Monique.
I wanted to second.
Honorable Wana.
Nomination from
any objections?
No.
Do you accept the nomination, Honorable King?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
With pleasure.
Okay. You can take a chair.
You have to declare the chairperson of the Delegate Committee on Petitions and Executive Undertakings.
Congratulations.
Thank you, honorable members, official, secretary. Thank you very much. My whip.
Yeah, we are
Okay. Look after this.
Yeah. Thank you very much for nominating me as the chairperson of petitions. And I appreciate the position that is deployed, that I'm deployed to by the ANC. I will take that position, I will run, but as the chairperson of security just said, that we need to work together. Together we can take this South Africa forward. We can take ANC forward. Without working as a team, there's nothing I can do. A chairperson is just a person who's just sharing the committee. But the members are very important, because those are the members who will come up with suggestions and will take decisions, not the chairperson. So I appeal to the members. Actually, we were working together. There's just changing chair. I'm still in this committee. Yes, thank you very much. I trust that even the officials will, our support staff will work together as we did before. Thank you very much, honorable members. You can call the stakeholders. We can proceed with our meeting.
Thank you. Thank
you, Mami Elephant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I can say that.
Nyan?
No.
Okay.
Well dignified petitions committee.
Yes. Good morning again, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members. The meeting is already officially opened. Honorable members, I think before we start, can you give us who are the are there any apologies?
Thanks, Chairperson. I did receive a formal apology from Honorable Engelberg, and Honorable Wahabi will be running late, and Honorable Mugwele will be running late.
Thank you.
No formal apologies from the invited stakeholders. Thank you.
Members, the agenda is in front of you. Any member doesn't have an agenda can just show. Then can we adopt the agenda as it is, or is there anything that we need to add in this agenda? Yes, Honourable Petra.
The Chairperson, thank you. I propose the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. All members, you are all welcome in this meeting. But I think before we...
I second the agenda.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. You are all welcome to this meeting. Our meeting today, the first agenda, the first item, we finished about it, of the election of the chairperson. Then we'll continue with item number two, which is continuation of the hearing on the Masopa petitions. The petition, it was on the alleged failure of Masopa municipality to provide basic services and emanating from the Free State province. I think before we start, honorable members, let's introduce ourselves, that we know who is who in the meeting. My name is Dumisani Tsimbi. I'm the new elected chairperson of petitions. I'm a permanent delegate from the Western Cape. Originally, I'm from Eastern Cape, but the same leadership. Honorable members, Honorable Tedra, you can continue.
Oh,
yes.
My name is James Tedra. I'm a permanent delegate from KZN. I'm also a member of this committee and the leader of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Officers from Fitness. My name is Kabiso Wana, a permanent delegate from the province of Eastern Cape, known as the province of Eastern Cape. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Secretary, can you indicate our stakeholders and introduce yourself? My name is... I thought it's going out in the gate. Yes, no.
Right.
My name is Gladys Woolifant. I came from Northern Cape. I'm a permanent delegate of this committee, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you. Thank you. Any member? Okay. I think our stakeholder can introduce us.
Thank you, members. My name is Tamara Masila. I'm a municipal manager of Montreal Public Health Institute.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, all our members. My name is Mukiti Duma. I'm the head of the Department for Cooperative Government and Service and Affairs in the United States.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Jackie Chetney. I'm from the State Commission for Justice and Affairs.
Good morning, members. My name is Mubai Mokwai. I'm the executive youth from my department in the United.
Thank you. Sitting next to me is the committee secretary, Nkize, and that side is our conduct advisor, Dr. Kondwe, support staff in the side. Thank you very much, honorable members. And as I said, that this is a continuation. If you remember, we've been in KZN for this petition. It was in Free State, man. I like Free KZN. We're in Free State for this petition, and because there were a rush of flights, we didn't finish. We didn't do justice about this one. That's why we decided to call you just to finalize this petition, and then we'll come up with the committee. Will come up with this decision later. I think without wasting time, we'll ask the submission by the Provincial Department of Treasury or the Treasurer.
Yeah.
support that in terms of the progress of the petition. I think it's important for committee members to get a view in terms of the financial aspects of the municipality. From that perspective, you would ask committee members, what we've done is item two, we've indicated the progress in terms of the 2017-18 budget process. We've also taken it further to indicate in terms of the IYM status, where the municipality is currently. We looked at the audit issues, and then we've indicated in terms of the progress of the petition where the municipality is currently. On the budget, we've indicated that currently the municipality, to an extent, has an unfunded budget for the 2017-18. This is mainly based on the collection rate of 95%, because we must also indicate that the municipality has challenges in terms of collection. In terms of indigents, they have a huge indigent base that also has implications in terms of the cost. On the capital, we've indicated the capital budget is more focused orientation in terms of several delivery. You would also get an indication that capital budget is currently focused in terms of infrastructure, mainly on the trading services, given the lag currently in terms of population. And it's focusing in terms of the basic services in terms of water, electricity, and road. And these are actually what the petition members also indicated in terms of petition, especially the school and we've also then unpacked in terms of cash flow position, where the municipality is in terms of operating activities, the investing activities, and also the financial activities. Indicating to a large extent the municipality, in terms of financing, they don't have to have adequate reserves to look at financing. They are reliant on collections and, to a large extent, on the collection for their sustainability. We went further to indicate that the collection rate is, in terms of the status of the year report, that the collection rate is around 33%. The debtors, they have a huge debtors book, which currently sits around 299 million. And also, there's around 12.59 million that's over 90 days, indicating that the municipality has challenges as well. Creditors outstanding, there's a huge amount, 103 million rand outstanding, indicating the municipality is collecting, there's a weak collection rate that's having an indication on the disability of the status of audit, we're currently in the audit process of the municipality. You would note that the current audit issues are currently now at the municipal level, where municipalities are now engaging with the AGSA in terms of provisions. But we can assure council members there is progress in terms of the audit. There were a few issues, and I think we've highlighted in terms of various, in terms of receivables, in terms of budget, in terms of the public finance of the issue, in terms of expenditure, in terms of assets, in terms of human resources, internal audit. We've indicated in terms of the issues that were solved thus far. On the progress, I think this is the salient area, I think, that will be important for committee members in terms of where the municipality is in terms of the petition. So we have then indicated in terms of the roads, specifically around the quality of roads, the two areas of Lady Fenn and the construction of the road network was an issue, but the 16.6 million rand that will be set aside over the MPRF, the Revenue and Expenditure Framework, for upgrading of the 3.1 kilometer road and the stormwater. All the business plans have been submitted on in December, and the project will be concluded in November 2017 at the requirement of the United Nations of the Registration Process. The project will be implemented in 2018-19. So from a progress perspective, in terms of the roads, there is movement in terms of the MIT registration, and also the need is also in for implementation in 2018-19. Also, as an interim measure, what the municipality will be doing as well, the Department of Free State Roads and Police Roads and Transport, as an interim measure, will be looking at sort of grading the roads and the roads as well, as an interim measure in some of the roads. So ultimately, there's a long-term measure in terms of the budget, and there's a short-term measure, how do we resolve it? The leakages in terms of the sewer network, we have a medium-term strategy and a long-term strategy for the municipality. The aging infrastructure.
structure, I think all municipalities, and this is not immune to only Mansofa, throughout the country we know municipalities have huge leakages as well. There's around 2.3 million rand currently set aside in the current budget to serve as an interim measure. But in the long-term strategy, business plan works to the development of water and sanitation for conservation. So ultimately, we would look at servicing because you would have births that the municipality would need to take care of. So the 2.3 million. I think the second point in terms of the payment of service provider, that's basically for committee members in terms of knowledge perspective, in terms of the SDM processes, the cabin service provider that was doing the team stream and the accommodation was not done through an SDM process or did not follow the SDM processes of the municipality, but rather it was done as the with the contractor. But we can say in terms of the learnership names were given to the Premier's office. And what we've done thus far, we have a unit within the Premier's office that looks at all learnership and engages the teachers. And all these would be accommodated. Those who are not employed would try to accommodate them in terms of the different teachers. But I'm not only in the construction teacher, but we're looking at certain the other teachers as well. In terms of outsourcing of municipal projects, I think it's important that we indicate that we have a central supplier database, and what we've done thus far is we, as a treasury and also with the municipalities, we then started registering sort of service providers from within the province so that we accommodate them as well. So we've started the process, so and you would notice in all provinces we have this kind of PSD process. But it's also based on in terms of price as well. There's an area that is beyond our control that could extend. But it's important that the process is now started for us to accommodate the service providers within Princeton. I must say, in terms of housing human settlement, there's about allocation of 306 RDP housing allocation was done. And furthermore, the housing and land parcels. I think the intention here is to look at, because the TTF has also taken the decision as well, to look at the investment properties as well. So not only looking holistically in terms of housing, human settlement, but also looking holistically in terms of fundamentally how do we improve the investment within the municipal jurisdiction. In terms of the permanency, I think we need to note as well, the municipality has around 403 employees, and largely there's 280 that is permanent, and there's around 80 that's EPW. If we go ahead and say that these officials need to be permanent, we'll have an implication of the municipality in terms of sustainability. Currently, we indicated already the budget is unfunded. If we go and say appoint...
Sorry, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Are you presenting on behalf of municipality, are you, or are you presenting on behalf of the department?
Treasurer.
Yeah, but when you're getting into service delivery, that's how you need to be able to serve, not for me.
Sorry.
You
want to answer, yeah? Let me give the opportunity to the member first.
Chair, I'm having a problem about this document that we're getting now. This document is not binding because it's not signed. If you can just sign the document so that we can say, because what we are doing here is something that we are going about. People can say, no, I don't know that document you're talking about. Because we never signed the document. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thanks, Chair. Chair, it was recalled in the first place. It was the transfer type arrangement that we have to collectively deal with this petition. Treasury is dealing with its own parts, but we have actually done the presentation together, all of us. Yes, the municipality will indicate and we will call the role of treasury to play an oversight role over municipality in terms of expenditure. So what Dr. Chin is actually indicating is that if in certain areas around the contract employees who have to be absorbed to manage, in terms of their own oversight role, they will realize that it will create problems, further problems for them, but it seems that their budget is actually unfunded and is reflecting on those issues. There will be another presentation by the municipality.
Yes. Expected.
Then we also handle the issue of why the document is unsigned. It's not to undermine members of the community. But the head of the department for treasury was actually outside the country. So because it bears his name, but if community members agree, I think the MEC might as well indicate who can sign the document on behalf of the HOD treasury because he was outside the country. I can sign as an accounting officer of another department through the permission of the MEC just to confirm that this document will be binding and the contents are well known to all parties.
Thank you. Are you happy, Member? Yes, go on, I'm in the gate.
No, thanks, sir. I propose that we allow the presentation to be done.
Yes.
And once all of them have presented, we can then come and engage and ask questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Can proceed, my friend.
Thanks,
thank you.
My last point.
Yes.
Just to indicate that it's important that we take note because currently 82% of the budget is allocated to salary. I think that's the point that we want to raise in the community. Because we must be mindful that the cost containment sector in terms of 18 is the national treasury and how we safeguard the fiscal of the municipality in terms of the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And there was a suggestion that let's proceed with another presentation, which is municipality. I think so? Yes. Sorry? Oh, yes. Submission from the Provincial Department of Copter and Government. When is municipality? Is it term? But can I start with the municipality? And vice versa, feel and ask the province to, after the municipality.
With your permission, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
In fact, we felt that the same points that the municipality would be raising in their presentation,
yes,
are the same points that COPTA would then have raised.
Oh.
We would recall, Chair, that our responsibility as COPTA was only to assist the municipality to re-prioritize their MIH.
Good.
So they have also captured that in their report. So I don't think
so your report is almost thank you. Thank you. No, fine. Then the one who's supposed to present, he must present or she must present. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. You are making things easy.
Panda and do the Lennart also. So it becomes difficult for us as a municipality to say
we have to pay those tenants any amount, because that was the responsibility of the LDC, which at a later stage, I'll also say that the then mayor, we have all the proof he has interviewed on behalf of the tenants, trying to find out from the LDC what is happening, what is going on, why it's not continuing, because the tenants are supposed to be paid. But the LDC ultimately distanced itself from the matter and said the person was that. But that initiated the leadership does not meet their criteria. Those probably from the first engagement between the LDC and the Bonella Panda, they had agreed, but later on they said, you are not accredited, you cannot accredit you because you don't meet our requirements. So that's a problem that the municipality is dealing with. We were not part of this whole engagement. As such, it becomes difficult for us to then say, we will pay the Lenas that money that they alleged that it's not been paid. That's the first demand. Then, but we've also, what we've done, Chair, for the 2016-17-18 financial year, the number of Lenaships that we've managed to get for the Lenas in general of Manitoba, and like Dr. Chetty has already indicated, we have liaised to the Department of the Premier that are trying to assist us in a specific, this specific problem. And what I've also assisting us with is going forward, how will they engage those men so that we start benefiting and start being engaged in further leadership.
Are you going to pay back or are you going to start a new thing from those learners? Because remember they said they have got outstanding money and all those things.
Our point is, Chair, municipality cannot do anything on behalf of this learner because...
Okay. Thank you.
Let the mayor present it. Then the other issue goes with us. So I can listen to it going ahead from the last meeting that we had with us. Let's allow the presentation.
Okay.
So after the presentation, we're going to deal with it.
What's that? Yes. Continue my
development to date, what have we done, what leadership we have secured for the Lenas, and some of the same ones on the petition, they are part of this leadership that are here. Over the 2 points back for the leadership. Like we say, the demand is that all of them be appointed by the municipality. It cannot be financially viable and possible for the municipality. Already we're reading about 28 federal workers on contract in the municipality who we have to absorb. So it becomes impossible to take the 403 million. I think the third demand, I've already covered that one, about payment to the storm, about accommodation and energy, which we say is beyond us. We are not part of our scope. There's no way the municipality can say that would be. It is not well for me. I think I've also touched on that one. On the issue of growth, Dr. Chet has also indicated we have already budgeted there's a plan in place about doing the two roads. It's about 3.1 kilometers of road. This is the same road that the committee went to and there are plans in place to be done through the MIT grant. I think another thing that is happening, Chair, we've got an intervention from the Department of Roads, requested assistance from them. Already as we are speaking, they're in Manitoba from today. They've brought in their fleet, they're assisting us with blading and grading of some of the roads so that we just bring them quality. And since this, the third one, that the two ones are part of, because we also acknowledge that their state is not that good. So we are part of
the program that we are engaging on with the Department of Roads. We're also having our Castella program where we're trying to clean our area,
yeah,
monthly campaign, yes, monthly campaign, Friday campaign, weekly campaign, that is Castella program where we engage on massive cleaning campaigns as part of bringing dignity and cleanliness to our town. And then, Chair, on the leaking of sewerage, things of capacity and on storage kinds of capacity, has already indicated what we are doing. There are plans in place, there's a budget in place, and we've also written to the National Department of Sanitation with regard to assistance on our infrastructure. We are still engaging with them on that one. Also, on outsourcing of municipal projects, I think it's been addressed. We've also taken a stand that we need to start promoting local economic development. We are starting to say we need to start with making sure that our locals benefit from projects that come into the municipal as part of making them to grow. And then on the seventh demand on transparency and communication, I think we are engaging on different mechanisms with regard to engagement with our communities. We have public meetings, we use all the time, try as much as possible to be transparent. We have social media pages where we engage with our communities, we have working meetings, we have very effective work committee programs that are in place. Chair, on the issue of arbitrary housing, I think Dr. Sethi has already indicated that not our competency, but working with the Department of Housing, as of course our people must be the beneficiaries, and there's an allocation made about that one.
Thank you very much. Copter? Thank you.
No, there's a point that the MEC, because there was another demand relating to the investigation, forensic investigation of the 0607 to 9-10 financial year. What the MEC is saying is that she has requested the AG to go back in terms of their audit finding. And then once the response from the AG is received, the MEC will share that response with one of the committee members, so that the financial decision could be taken. If there are certain, if there's grounds that exist for any forensic investigation, we will then start that process of ensuring that we engage in forensic investigation on those expenditure
areas. Thank you. Welcome, Honorable Happy. You're welcome, sir. Which presentation is affecting? Is there any presentation now? They are not all here. Is there anyone who's from the office of the Premier?
Sir, you remember I made an appointment with the Director.
Yes. So there's no one from that office.
But like I said, the report is in this one of months.
It's same.
It reflects what
same.
The office of the Premier was tasked
to the
reflect on the leadership and skills development in general. And the report is also reflecting that they have about 10,000 so many learners accepted by office of the Premier.
Okay. Sorry. Is CETA here? Yeah. Is it present today? CETA. No one from CETA. And the Chief Whip? From Free State?
What?
ANC Chief Whip from Free State? Not here? Let's take that. We finish all of our presentation from the Department and Municipality. Yes. So members, I think those are the two presentations that we received today. Can members ask clarities or questions from those presentations? Thank you. Honorable Wana? Sorry. No, it's signed now. We'll make certain we'll make copies.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
When I'm coming for the second time, I wanted the people or the finance department to specify to me the details of their process and how you spend the money.
Aram Timonye, notice.
You'll pardon my ignorance. I
don't have the history of the But I'm not even sure. In your response to Honorable Mayor and the team, for instance, on the on response on demand number 7, I would have expected you to present to this committee some kind of evidence that this particular meeting, so what meeting that we're talking about, the in terms of consultation and so on, would have happened fully by way of you. I think that this is that the things are starting to grow. I think it would be considered other than your presentation itself when you further to actually do to be a defendant in this particular case, and of course you would always be cited on your own side as a defendant. I'm not sure if the petitioner appeared before this committee before. I made a disclaimer earlier when he started that pardon my opinion. But then the issue of the database on housing, chair, that's my second point. It's a crisis all over the country. I don't know how do we address this. Most local government in this country, if local government was brought down, local government would be brought down on the basis of housing. That is a national demand in this country. And as this government was created, they are building for ourselves. And I'm not sure how do we go about dealing with this at advocacy level. Because reading newspapers and looking at the television and so on, even people who do not qualify for housing, they do demand housing. I don't know to what extent do we go in terms of trying to explain to these people what is this that we actually need for people to qualify for as beneficiaries for RDP housing. And also the database, and we must not deny the fact that our composition of the database is riddled with corruption, let's be honest. In our taking parliament to the people in the Eastern Cape last year, the Minister of Human Settlements nationally indicated that they had now a system of national central database through which they were capturing all applicants from municipality upwards. And I want to think the baseline is municipality where you can capture it, and therefore it will be set in our national database, in the National Department of Human Settlements. Do we have that kind of a thing whereby people can also access themselves and see for themselves on the system, whether or not the application is captured, number one, whether or not the application is progressing or not, whether or not the application is rejected, because I want to believe there are applications that can be rejected if the applicant does not meet the requirement. My last point, Chair, is the outsourcing of municipal projects to the companies that are from the Mbombo. And the Mayor, in her response, made an indication that they are now, only now, beginning to correct that. But I want to believe that is policy, Madam Mayor. Local beneficiation is government policy. It does not start now in this term of local government. Are you suggesting we're ignorant on that policy?
Thank you.
Finished? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Mulukedi?
Yeah, thank you once more. Yeah, my two friends expressions. The first one, under housing, there is an indication that 306 housing allocations has been all within made to address the issues raised around housing. The question that I have is this particular issue, that it come about because of an intervention that was decided upon, or is it part of the normal program that we had as a strategy? I want you to rectify us on that part, no? Is this allocation coming about because it was noted as a concern by the petitioner and you have decided to do something about it, and as a result you are now allocated 306? If that is the case, I just want to check as to how many housing allocations were there before this particular allocation. but I think it's a good. The second one is with regards to the indication by the agency, the treasury. I think it's an indication that the corporate treasury is for that. At that time, there is 1 million and in terms of the sewer pipe, you are telling us to a program that is there, that is in place, in terms of which you are able to spend about 2.3 million. Even here, you are not very clear as to whether this is because of the intervention arising from the petition or not. No? I'm saying this petition or petitioner are raising concerns like this and that are not being delivered, are not being done in the area, in your community. No? And you are coming back to us to say, yes, this is that. No? And what do we expect? We don't expect you to tell us normal problems that we are thinking all along. We want you to tell us about intervention problems that you have decided to implement as a response to the petitioner. So if this is part of your normal problem, it has not been submitted to that anyone, unless maybe there is another context which you want to explain to us. I hope that you
thank you. Thank you. Then, over to Mayor or any, yes, sir.
Yes,
can help each other.
I'll respond to you just a few issues that you raised, and I think to also head on track. The one that I want to reflect on is the payment of the fish. And the matter that we also indicated in the speech that the Monella Panel Association came to the municipality, it was even before the term of the current mayor. Mm-hmm. It was during the time of Mayor Ntsepe, and presented a proposal to say we have secured funding from the center, and it has started in a number of areas where some of these programs will go to CITAS directly and say, we want to go and train members in the following municipalities. The municipality agreed to be the beneficiary of the program. They identified learners, and this company that sourced funding from the center subcontracted the store in terms of catering, accommodation, and space. Now, when the scheme collapsed, when this Bonella Panel Associate scheme collapsed together with the center, the program did not go forward. Now, if someone won the municipality case, and they never had other people in the municipality, if the municipality takes it upon itself to pay for the loan, it will be a fruitless expenditure for the municipality, which they will live with for the rest of their life, unless that is recovered from the company of visa one year after they spend that money. And that is the provision that is in the hands of the municipality. So we are saying we cannot, at any stage, compel the municipality to pay the service provider because there was no arrangement at all. If this company has got a problem, they will have to go to the small claims court and institute a claim against Bonella Panda and Associates because it will create serious accountability problems for the municipality. It's like when Parliament has received the service provider and the service provider, you know, subcontracts another service provider. And then when the scheme collapsed, Parliament is then expected to pay the subcontractor. There is no way that Parliament will pay the subcontractor, because then the subcontractor will have to deal with the main contractor, as far as Parliament will be able to deal with the main contractor. And that is the problem that we have actually discovered. And that is why, in the provision of treasure, it is clear that there was no, it cannot materialize, because there was no arrangement between the former and the municipality. Now, as part of intervening on the learnership program, municipality, ourselves, treasury, and office of the premier, we met. And among the complainants of the petitioner, they have been accommodated in the new learnership program that is facilitated by the office of the premier. The unfortunate situation is that
this leadership process in terms of accountability cannot be retrospective. So whatever they were actually entitled to in the collapsed leadership, it means it's something that they would have to forget about. But to accommodate their sort of pride is to include them in the new program so that they can be beneficiaries moving forward. It will actually close the gap that is created by that previous one which has since collapsed. I think that is the essence of what the report is trying to address. On the issue of the roads, the 3-kilometer roads, you would recall an undertaking by COTA was that we will assist municipalities by using MIG, because MIG is actually managed by COTA National, to make sure that we reprioritize their business plan to accommodate the 3.1 kilometers, because that road, you would remember, it was actually half done by the previous contract. So it means the new administration must then train the previous contractor and then release that contractor, because he never performed it with the contract. It's an investigation that must be conducted separately. But what we've actually done in the municipality, we have designed a new business plan, which was concluded in September. It has now been submitted. You know, the second round of submitting business plan in terms of the MIG processes is now in November. That's why we say we have submitted that, and definitely the new project will start in the 18-19 financial year. So as soon as MIG has actually approved this project, that is reviewed to accommodate the unfinished route of 3.1 kilometers, it will definitely be done in the new financial year, which is from June next year moving forward. That's when the municipality will get their allocation to the attention. The issue relating to the pipes and the sewer plant, another business plan has been developed where the Department of Water and Sanitation, and I'll request the municipality also to actually make the copies of those business plans available as proof or evidence to the committee members to show that there has been consultation with the Department of Water and Sanitation. They are currently running a program of war on leaks. So we said the department must also go and assist in terms of training the CDWs. And it's a decision that was taken, I think, last week when Minister Esfand Royen was in the province, where we said we will have to assist the Department of Water and Sanitation, make sure that the CWP beneficiaries that are facilitated by Procter National will have to be trained on war on leaks, so that they assist municipalities in their own space to assist in this thing of the war on leaks. And then the second business plan therefore deals with what you were raising, honourable member, around the sewer outfall. Yeah, it's not the drainage system, but it's sewer outfall. In a number of areas, we know that sewer outfall, like in Mukaga recently, there's a study, there's a compliance report by Water and Sanitation which shows that the sewer outflow in Mukaga goes into the North River, which may be a health hazard. Mm-hmm. We are starting also the program together with Treasure of bioremediation, but there we are actually disturbed by inadequacy of financing to deal with that, because in a number of areas, like in Cross Tatias, there's an abattoir which also spills its blood, you know, once they have actually slaughtered the chickens, into the river as well. And the only way to clean the river is by using the bioremediation exercise. Mm-hmm. So we have started it in Mwate, we did it also in Mukaga, so we'll be assisting the municipality. Like I said now, the only problem is we don't have adequate, you know, finances to actually assist the municipality. But that's why we have also equally engaged the Department of Water and Sanitation, because they have that particular problem of cleaning the river. So that is what the report is trying to actually see. I'm sure that my colleagues will also end on the other part.
Thank you. Mayor?
Can I add on the one that says outsourcing of projects, where the honourable member said was out of ignorance or what? I just wish to say that I'm the newly elected mayor of Kanto Paris. I came in August 2016. This petition was in 2010, so I really cannot answer that much on why they did not go for local economic development. But for the newly elected can sell. That's our commitment, that we have to empower our members, and we have to say to them.
Thank you.
Chair, just the last one on the response of AG. By next week, end of October, which is next week, the AG will be giving us the response on those findings, which will then inform us on whether we need to institute for the future institution.
Okay. Let's follow up on our
so,
thank you.
My if he is saying there's a business law around the public, my question was, what is the intention of this man? Because that was the, what we saw that when there's the overflow, that sanitation gets to the outside. So you are covering them for the business plan and whatever, but you are not covering them about the intention side. That's to devote it to you. That's my main understanding.
Yeah,
that's my main question. I was explaining in writing, but it doesn't cover
the immediate
side of the in that situation where there the civilization getting into their houses if there is an overflow.
Thank you.
Chair, I think partly I covered that. If you check at the report of the municipality, they have put aside 2.3 to assist on the immediate maintenance. But that is not sufficient. That's why we said, even ourselves as cops at the level of pressure, we're trying to secure findings that will actually deal with bioremediation. Because it's also an exercise for bioremediation. Why we have engaged the Department of Water and Sanitation is on the broader network, because we don't know whether the problem relates to an even network. You know, when you have laid the pipes and they are uneven, two things will happen there. Either the effluent goes back into the houses, but if there are also blockages, the effluent will also go back into the houses. So the department will actually assist us in terms of the investigation of whether it's a problem of pipeline, why we come up with the process of bioremediation. Because it diffuses all the solids in the pipe so that it allows the effluent to move through. So it's a multi-pronged kind of process that we're trying to attend to. But the municipality on their part there put 2.3 million aside. Once we have looked at our finances, we prioritized for the financial year, and we will can then later tell the police how much. Because the exercise of bioremediation in the municipalities that we have actually implemented, it actually per municipality has costed us 10 million. And that was not sufficient. We can provide a proof of what we have actually done in Mwache, in Mukaga. Those are the municipalities, and Setoto. Those were the three municipalities that we provide, and that we prioritize based on the financial availability. And then Mansuba, for sure, because of this problem, will also get to be prioritized. That's why we're saying they have their own 2.3 million. We will come up with a figure once we have decided we've met the territory and we prioritize. We can inform the committee how much we will be bigger, bigger for that. In the main, the Department of Water and Sanitation will have to do an investigation, check whether it's the pipe or it's poor construction work that was actually done. Because you remember during the budget eradication process, a number of state municipalities experienced serious problems where even the makeshift contractors, you know, registered their companies, because there was this massive budget eradication program, and then started to be appointed, go on site, and then some without, you know, an experience. And then we have such evidence in Nala municipality versus Gormunyaki, where the entire sewer line had to be removed, and then a new process had to be started from the scratch, in view of the fact that the initial contractors that were appointed never had experience, never had a capacity. That is why the decision that has been taken is that when it comes to sewer, you don't have to take any other contractor. Contractors that have got a history in terms of dealing with sewer will be the one to be defended. On the issue of the local economic development, that's what the MEC was reminding of. Provincially, we have requested provincial departments, including our municipalities, to have the 30% set aside, because it's something that was recently, you know, approved by National Treasury, now in January 2021. It has never been there before. And also, that 30% set aside, it depends on whether in that particular area you have a contractor who meets the minimum standard. If it's a construction, you will have to have a local contractor who has got a particular grade in CIB. So that, because you cannot just appoint Duma with no experience in view of the fact that he comes from this area. Because there's a way that they have to be done. Otherwise, that's where you will experience problems. So I wanted to clarify that on the side.
Thank you, Mr. Duma.
You know, I disagree with you. Local beneficiation has always been a particular policy of government. What comes came in this year is only the 30% in benefit. That is what came in this year. But local beneficiation has been always part of the policy of government. So I disagree with you on that one. You can take it for success. And secondly, Madam Mayor, in the office of Mauchata, we have another rosa out of it, man.
Yeah.
For you to come here and tell us what is not your opportunity in the place of the ex-mayor, it's irresponsible. When you take the office, you take it with the problems. I think we must learn to be able to accept things as they are and be able to explain ourselves in terms of you mentioned a number of issues of environmental degradation that are happening there. Around issues of the village, the source that their waste is dumped into the environment and so on. But in your mitigation or in your response, it was very reactionary. In a sense that you say you only do things, you only take care of environmental degradation after fact. After the thing has happened, after degradation has happened, why not prevent it? The question is, why not prevent it before it happens?
Right.
Because there's regulations in any case. Why does the company have to spill off into the environment and degrade the environment when actually they impose that bad that? Why don't we stop it before it happens? And it's like, of course, green stop you. Why don't you get them into the picture here and get these people arrested?
But, Chair, if you allow me to respond to your specific question, let me indicate the issue of the 30% set aside. I'm saying it's only construction of the service provider, as a service provider. But to hire local people, I agree, it's something that has been there. It's currently happening. If a contractor comes to an area, he is told that we'll bring your expertise, but among your expertise, we need to get people who are locally based to be the beneficiaries of that particular project in terms of investment. Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to explain is that you cannot take a person in South Asia and then force that person, because he's locally based, to go and work with this contractor. That would be miscarriage of justice. The thing that I'm trying to explain here is that, yes, on the employment side of things, people have been employed locally as part of the local economic development. The 30% that Treasury came up with, if a service provider is appointed to supply, as an example, yes, you might get a person who's competent to supply, to take 30% of the share and supply. That's what we're trying to explain. The issue on the, I agree with the honorable member, that's what we've been, you remember the Department of Environmental Affairs is responsible for that. Whenever we get a problem in a municipality, we'll write to them and say, dispatch your cranes, pickers, and scorpions, so that they go and provide compliance order in terms of the National Environmental Management Act. And that's what is actually been happening. You would recall that in the province, it's the first province where even farmers, you know, were jailed for stealing water along the river streams because they never had licenses from the Department of Water to extract water from the river. And including those companies that never complied with the National Environmental Management Act. That exercise is actually being done. And our role as the Department of Agriculture is where we make funds available to clean the environment once damage has been done. I agree with you. Beyond that, we don't have any other company. We'll go to the police and report. We'll go to the Department of Environmental Affairs and say, this is what is happening in this particular area. And that's all what we can do. But to clean the environment, we will have to assist.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, do you want to say something, sir?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted to say something. When you answer the question of the learnership, you said there's another scheme that has been created. There will be some of the members will be absorbed from them.
From the new scheme.
To the new scheme. But the issue of payment, it will never happen. But my question is, the commitment was done by the mayor to those people for payment. In that commitment that was done by the mayor, I'm asking this question to you because you are the person responsible for all the questions there, not even the mayor. So you know exactly what is going to happen to this. The commitment that was done by the mayor, that damage, that commitment is for the government. Or it was verbally or it was written that commitment is for the government. Do you have a plan, except the one that you mentioned, to pay those people?
Sorry, before you answer, I think let me on get the...
I have a question two earlier on. I think it's been responded to. One around housing, the other one has been responded to. For the housing one, the number
house,
yeah. So, and there are new questions that have been raised before that one could be
responded. Can be answered. Can we just give the chance for the mayor to, and then we'll come back, we'll cover. Yes,
thank
mayor?
Chair, can I just say to honorable member that it's true we have to take responsibility for what has happened. But unfortunately, I cannot undo what has been done. For instance, I cannot just go back and say, we take off the Limpopo people, they were, it has happened. But the remedial work that we are doing is to make sure that the locals benefit going forward. That's the responsibility that I'm taking as the new mayor. That one is the currency. And based on what Mr. Duma is saying, as Mantova, we have said, like he's indicating that you cannot take, say for instance, requirements in a project are a CIGB rating of a five, and then we don't have locals. But what we have done is that we make sure that the main contractor appoints subcontractors, but at the end of the day, they will be able to assist them to register the fees they're raising. And what we have done, we say for instance, it's on the first project that level, at that grade one, we make sure that before the main contractor gets out of Mantova, we make sure that it's registered at level two. The rest, they get a project, they said that they make sure that they're so that we create our own sufficient business in Mantova. That's the commitment we have made. Make sure that we create a company that are able to.
So you mean that you are in the planning stage?
No, we've already started.
You are already started?
Yes, we started with it already. Yes, check. On the issue of the intervention of on housing that the honorable member has asked. We have engaged with the Department of COPTA through housing. Unfortunately, the 302 was already in the budget for their financial year. But there's a commitment that the MEC directly spoke to the MEC on this specific matter. And she has said, look, we already have our budget committed to projects in housing. There's no way that we can, for now, accommodate anyone in the event. But this is a project in Mantova. So we hope that with the next intake, in the next financial year, they'll allocate to us because we have made them to see reasons. Though at the end of the day, all of our reasons are the same in all of our towns. The problems that we find in Lady Bend, we find in this place, in Hopper, for instance, they are the same. But we have engaged with them that they should assist us so that because what they do is that they don't make, they don't allocate it to one town each and every financial year. They differentiate. This is this financial year, half house, next financial year, this is the structure, the next one is this, the next one. But we have engaged with them on that one.
Thank you, Honorable Mohapi.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I hope I acknowledge you.
No. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir.
Chair, I just want to make a few comments. One, remember, this is not for the first time that we have this type of an interaction.
Yes.
And perhaps you must ensure that we stick to what was resolved by the committee in terms of saying let's focus on progress report and not at least that. Two chapters that we need to check from the onset, there's been a call for concern for myself. There's been non-visibility of the office of the speaker. And from what I know, this is one office that is really supposed to change your issues of petition before they can even be referred to the office of the mayor.
Mm.
And in this regard, I want really to place it on record that it's a call for concern, because from the provisions of the law, in particular Section 16 of the Municipal Citizens Act, the office of the speaker, together with the Municipal should plan mechanisms and processes of ensuring that they engage with communities. In this case, it's very clear. Most of the issues that are raised in the petitions, it's a clear collaboration of misinformation in most of the time. But I think the committee is not working in terms of Chair, again, on the issue of privacy, to check what the issue has been clarifying in most countries. There are more issues of privacy on the side of the municipality, and I would really urge, perhaps as a man who concludes on this particular matter, the committee will also develop a plan in terms of how best we expect the committee to oversee, in terms of our oversight, the role of the municipality together with COPTA in terms of ensuring that on issues of finance. Chair, again, as much as we've been listening to the inputs from both COPTA, Treasury, and the municipality, we have also an obligation from our side in terms of the Commission of ensuring that there's monitoring and control. If you check these issues that are being raised, to be quite frank, these are issues that are supposed to be proactively being attended. But because most of the time we react to the situation, hence we are sitting like this. Perhaps we need really to emphasize the role of the problem in terms of oversight, in particular through the provisions of Section 27 that annually you are expected to submit to the committee. Because without that, we are unable to really detect where there are constraints or deficiencies, so that you are able also to monitor in terms of remedial action. Because if we had the Section 27 report, I don't think we'd be treated like this, Chapter 7, because out of that, you are able to detect the problems and challenges from the respective municipalities in the province, and you are also expected in terms of COPTA to come up with remedies. My emphasis in that, Honorable Chair, to the HOD is to ensure that they utilize the Section 27 report in most instances. Those are the tools that can be able to assist them to detect prior to any other problem. But lastly, for my side, Chapter 6, it's very clear we are seeking to systems. It means without us developing proper systems, we'll still see ourselves in a situation or in dilemmas where we are unable to really see this coherent approach. I'm glad that you have the MEC today. My wish was to have also the MEC of COPTA, so that jointly we see the principals taking full responsibility of the department. And I think it must also be placed on record issue. We registered it during our visit in terms of Section 139 in Macedonia and Mafuti, the non-visibility of issues, I mean, of the MEC. I think if we really need to do justice, we must be honest and frank. Because at times we ask the political question, of which the HOD as a technocrat won't be in a position to respond to them. So in most instances, one must always appreciate the presence of the NEC. for treasure. Lastly, chairperson, from my side, I think, Chair, let's not reopen another public hearing. We'll still have an oversight after concluding all this business. But nonetheless, from my side, I think there's much that has been done. With what we need to then to do is to come up with a report.
Thank you. Honorable
Wanda?
Thank you,
Chairperson.
Yeah.
Honorable Wanda,
I
have a question. Really, we are not overtaking the local government, but the petition in front of us was because in this day, because the local government there's no need for us to do that. Because it was unfortunate that the petition that was brought in front of us, which took place in 2010, for me, I was in this day. Very so there's one thing I wanted to have here. What is the response of us all, Chairperson? When number three is saying unfulfilled promises of our mayor, Mr. Epe, to solve the matter. After Mr. Chalala told us in a meeting with him that 5 million rand available, whereby the mayor, Mr. Denis, confirmed by saying that they are only waiting for the municipal manager to be pushed off. So, Mrs. L3LM, Rampai, to approve when she comes back from a meeting, she was. To me, all of us is for nothing to do with all of us. But the company that has brought us to be existing, what is the solution in this case? That's my interest. I'm thinking around that.
Before I give you then, I think the honourable member wanted to say something. No, I will give you a chance to respond.
Chairperson, I told you to respect without rage and very I think our main objective was to solicit clarity on the basis of submission made, both on the side of the petition and the person who has sent the petition to us. Based on that, Chairperson, we as the committee, on our own solitary court, will meet and make our own determinations based on the findings. Hence our submission, Chairperson, that it is if now we are moving how to accept it. Remember, this is not a question that we see in this question. We had a similar exercise. There was even an oversight done. There's been progress report submitted to us. While one has observed since I arrived here, there's been an iteration of what probably transpired in the previous public hearing. I mean, not yet in the public hearing, the hearing chamber. Hence, I was humbly suggesting that, without really surprising any person's view, let us not reiterate what I said. Instead, if there's anything that you feel as deemed that is still outstanding, then we can disagree. But for me, honestly speaking, this matter has been adopted. What is left for us is to see as the committee and make determination based on both the submission of the person who has petitioned, the committee, and the respondent.
Is it possible that I can give the two officials, then after that we'll take this thing forward? As a committee.
I would also like to submit this correspondence from Bonela Panda, which was at the center of all this. Because, like I indicated, there's no way, you know, as an accounting officer, there's no way that I will advise the municipality to pay a payment which is wrong. And I think it is a statement. If you read the statement, I don't want to classify it as a statement. But if a person from this company saying the mayor at that time undertook to make 50 million dollars. But even if the mayor had made that commitment, it was wrong. It was wrong. It was not going over in compliance to the municipal financial management. And that's where we should start. That's why I said in my response,
in trying to accommodate the pride of the youth and the aspirations, whose time were actually wasted buying Pelapanda and service centers? Because if you look at that problem, Pelapanda started the work without the service developer. And after they had started the work, they then, service center then realized through their regional manager that no, these people are not accredited to provide this type of a training.
Mm.
Even if you go ahead and spend money, these people are training. How are we going to teach the NPF related to this learner? Because these people do not comply. So it's a problem between service center and Pelapanda, and that's why service center was supposed to blacklist this company
mm.
in the first place. Because to me, in terms of my you know, honest observation, is that that's a fraud. How do you claim to be in the know of something or to be competent in something when you know you're not competent? It's like when I claim that I've got PhD in something and apply for a job here in Parliament.
Mm.
You know, it's the same thing that Stella Panda did, which has actually caused these problems. Now, I am saying there's no way that the municipality will then out of its own pay the outstanding monies to this learner. It will be a fruitless experience.
Mm.
Therefore, in trying to understand the aspiration and then, you know, trying to be humanitarian enough, the municipality has started a new program where they have also even accommodated the complainants or in your own language, the petitioner.
Yeah, the petitioner.
You know, to make sure that whatever loss that may have suffered out of this exercise, at least they are covered by being part of the new program, which is legitimate, which is now run by the National Skills Development Program of the Office of the Premier,
okay.
Because it's an accredited institution.
Mm.
You know, so that whatever, that's why even in the report, the type of stipends per annum are indicated, so that there's, after this program is actually concluded, there's no one who will come back and complain that I've been short paid,
mm-hmm.
because they entered this program knowing exactly what is, this is what we are going to get out of this. And I'm sure honorable member, this is what seeks to provide clarity on the issues that you raised earlier. But I'm sure the two copies that we've just submitted,
yes.
will further provide clarity of what actually happened between this bogus company and
service. Mm. Thank you, Mr. Duma. You want to say something?
But I'm sorry, sir.
Yes.
This boils back to what Honorable Mahathir has raised.
Mm.
You know, lack of communication, because have there been clearly communication lines between the beneficiaries and the municipality? Though we are hoping in municipalities where they are not responsible. But certain issues should have been clarified to them. They should have known who is responsible for the entire thing. They shouldn't have actually included the municipality where the municipality is not involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And on that other issue, I think, Honorable Mahathir, you are correct. We have issued the generic bylaws for all our municipalities in the province. We promulgated them. I can provide the date of the gazette and the gazette. And we said each municipality must then customize those bylaws in line with their own condition. That is all.
Want to add something, sir?
Okay. The issue, the challenge that is mentioned with many municipalities, like what the honourable member raised earlier about around the non-compliance to the NEMA. Remember, if your bylaws provide for something, you then have to go and refer the matter to the police, you know, as a municipality. Now, the issue of the enforcement, that's where there is still a great challenge, and I must acknowledge there we still have got a great challenge. We must try and build capacity. You know, during the old apartheid days, we used to have these municipal police who will ensure that they clamp down on the non-compliance of the bylaws. So it's something that we have to actually develop a strategy to actually deal with. Thank you. I'm not going to say anything anymore.
Because I want to add.
Chair, I think my mind was just to say, indeed, the petitioner had the right to arrange
No.
But what is I don't want her to educate me as this because I was busy, not as busy. So the discussion is situation, you don't have a solitary reason, but you explain so that other people can highlight some issues within the discussion. So that when you are making a consolidation, you do not be picking down that say the thing is just as been said by honorable. I'm not saying education about this, but I was highlighting all of that. So that the committee, when we conclude and close with a fair understanding and a fair discussion to all of us.
Let me take
the last one. The fourth is once you have done, you will give them to the
okay. Thank you very much. Let me thank our Mahapit.
Just for the record, I inherited that while I was still in the and I appeared before the Human Settlement Committee, the Solo Committee in Parliament. I have to take responsibility. I think that is the context that the honorable member was
in. And on a lighter note about the municipal manager.
By the way, who was the mayor before?
Sorry? Where is he? Is it she or he? Where is he now? Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, let me thank the official from Free State to come and submit to this committee. And it is the duty of the committee to look and take forward this thing and will respond to the petitioner and you will get the copies, we'll take it up to the council, the full council hour. But now the committee will sit, as Honorable Mohapi said, and check all those things that were given to us. What I want to say, thank you very much for coming and give clarity to the committee. We'll use everything that was given to us. If we feel that this one is not right, we'll say so. We've got the right. The committee will sit up alone and decide. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you very much. Then the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Hope to my way, man. No, we're done for the day.
Okay. The legislator has maybe for 5 minutes to present the program for the next day.
Do I have to put your office number in there? The telephone number?
Oh, applying for business card?
Yeah.
Dot com. No, you're right.
The office number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now put your number. Your cell number.
My cell number is already. It's a telephone number and a cell number.
But the office number, you do know your office number. I don't know mine, Mr. Mark. I don't know mine.
Okay.